So we're into week three of looking at the fasting practice. Yeah? If you missed either weeks one or two, where were you? Well, where were you? Hands up. Who wasn't here? I'm not going to do that. But seriously, if you weren't here, all right, Mons, I wasn't here last week. I went to a proper church. No, I didn't. I saw a lady there last week who, I know that she said, "Oh, I'm meeting Joy this week." I says, "We can tell Joy is at a proper church this Sunday, can't you?" We have this bit of fun and bit of banter between the churches, don't we? If you're interested, I was down at Kingsway Church because it was their 40th anniversary, which Mum and Dad started the church, and so we went down as like sort of, because it's significant, isn't it? It's significant. A few years after we planted, we'll celebrate our 50th in 4 years' time. Yeah? Yeah? 2028, our 50th. So, yeah. Seriously, if you weren't here and you need to catch up, you can listen to the podcasts, and those are available through the iKnow app. If you're not signed up for iKnow, please come and see one of us, see myself, Rach, Vicky. I'll just send you towards Rach and Vicky. But see one of us, and because I think we have to send you a link in order to sign up for iKnow. Or you can get them through the usual podcast app on Apple or Android or any other platforms which are less popular. So as Mons has given away, I was out last Sunday, so when I had nothing better to do, I thought I'll have a listen to what Phil said last week. I'm only teasing. I put time aside, and I thought, actually, surprisingly, he was quite good, wasn't he? Again, I'm joking. He's a friend, I can pull his leg. But both he and Vicky have done an excellent job so far, so there's no pressure on me today. But actually, it's widely known that week three of a series is the toughest week to do, actually. So please be gracious. No heckling from the Fosters, please. And as you said, we're referring to this as a fasting practice because it's more than just about coming and kind of sitting and hearing about it on a Sunday. We really want everyone to have a go. Yeah? We really want everyone to have a go at fasting. Vicky looked at how fasting is a way of offering ourselves to God, and hopefully you were inspired or encouraged to give it a go. Again, I won't ask you to put your hand up if you have had a go yet, but actually looking round, I think a few of you may be fasting, because if we turn to Matthew 6:16, it says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting." So, who looks like they've been fasting this week then? Sorry. Again, I'm only teasing. It's all right. You did cover that in week one, didn't you, Vicky? And hopefully you've heard so far that we're not being legalistic about fasting as well. And like, if your health means that you need to take medication, then we won't want you to jeopardise your health by kind of skipping that. But maybe just go for a piece of toast rather than the full English. There was a brief testimony on the accompanying the pod, with a podcast that accompanies this kind of series, part of the Practicing the Way series, about a young lady who, from New Zealand, who was fasting and praying with others because she couldn't get pregnant. But then the doctors advised her to stop fasting in order to increase the chances of getting pregnant. So while the rest of the group continued to pray and fast for her, she prayed and she ate and she became pregnant. So it's not legalistic. Yeah. There's times when you can, there's times when you can't. But if you can, please give it a go. And then last week, I heard on the podcast, Jean shared her experiences of the first time that she fasted in the house group together. And if you haven't heard it, it didn't go well. And she ended up at McDonald's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So no legalism. But to participate in the practice, it does mean going without food at some stage. Yeah. And if a day seems daunting at this stage, start with maybe a meal or a block of time. Anybody offering to do 11 p.m. to 6 a.m, that doesn't count. Unless you work in nights. Hopefully you're starting to see that as well, that it's more than just about not eating food. Yeah, it's more than that. In our house group, because I've transferred house groups, I've been promoted. of escape. I joined their house group to look at part of this, and then they changed the day that they were meeting, which clashed with something else. There was talk about Vicky and Will leaving the group and carrying on without them. They could just leave the keys to the house and we'd meet there, look after the kids for the night. But they decided it would make more sense for me to move then. You didn't offer, it was talked about though. And we started a journey group in Darlaston with our folks in Darlaston. And we met on Thursday, and one of the people in the group said, "You know what? If I'm busy during the day, I can go throughout the whole day without eating food. Not a problem at all. I'm busy, I don't need to eat." And I get that. Does anybody that sound familiar to anybody else? And they said, "I decided to fast." He says, "At 10:30, I'm climbing the walls." And it's a real struggle. So it's got to be more than not eating food. Last week, Phil looked then at standing with the poor through fasting, how the practice of fasting can help bring about social transformation. Through fasting, we can fight injustice, free people from oppression, very practically share food with the hungry, provide shelter to refugees, immigrants, and those with no home. We can clothe the naked, and we can meet the practical needs of people around us. And Phil also introduced the harvest appeal. Yeah, the idea that if we're missing a meal or food for a day, the money that you would have spent on food, you give to somebody else. And we're going to collect that next week for Food Bank. So remember to come next week with your donations. I think we have got it set up to give online as well. I didn't have the details to hand, but if you want to know more about that, see, Vicky's nodded her head, and I'm sure Mr. Walker at the back knows about it as well. Land in a minute. There. So that's where we've got to so far. This week, we're now going to look at how the practice of fasting can amplify our prayers. Hang on, that's not my presentation. The one that... Oh, well, you've missed the three best PowerPoint slides that you'd have ever seen. So, too late now. Moment's gone. You want a fridge milkshake? The fridge milkshake was there because Phil caused the scandal at Pays by drinking a milkshake. It was debated whether it was on the clean or unclean list of food, I think, and things like that. So, how's everybody doing? All right? Yeah? I'm not even 50, unlike Kevin Davies. On the memory stick. Hang on. Well, I didn't have a fridge milkshake on my memory stick.
Practicing fast week 13 times. That one.
Who's right, who's wrong? Drum roll. Yeah, we're having a break from PowerPoint, fasting from PowerPoint this morning. it is really tough if you're on sound or multimedia and something goes wrong because everybody's then lights off. Oh, we got music as well. Hang on. Okay, don't worry. We'll carry on. If you can sort it out, don't worry. It's not essential. Today, there we are, amplifying our prayers. A photo from Mick Buckley's spare room. Now we're looking at amplifying the prayers. So whereas last week Phil gave some very practical point about how the practice of fasting can bring about external transformation, and Vicky focused more on the internal transformation. This week, there's a little bit of a crossover between the two. There's a change in us, but also our prayers can have an external impact as well. You may remember this, I mentioned it in the Remembrance Service last year, because we just done the study at the time. May 1940, the Germans had overrun France. Over 300,000 Allied troops were trapped on the beach at Dunkirk with no hope of being rescued in time. Literally, they were sitting ducks. And in this country, Winston Churchill was gearing up for the annihilation of the British Army, prepared to go into Parliament to explain this. The last line of defence preventing an invasion of Great Britain was definitely on the line. Then on the 24th of May, King George called the nation to a day of prayer and fasting. And the following Sunday, 2 days later, tens of thousands of people lined up to get into Westminster Abbey and apparently queued outside churches all across the country to pray. Now, on the same day that the king called that day of prayer and fasting, Adolf Hitler issued an order for his generals, which left them baffled. 10 miles from Dunkirk, the order was given for the tanks to stop. The tanks were to stop their assault. Next, a storm rose up around Dunkirk. Despite it being the summer, we said this was May time, a storm rose up and it mixed with the smoke from the battle and it prevented the German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, from flying over the beach and just obliterating the troops on the beach. The storm settled and the English Channel was perfectly calm for 3 days, described as being like bathwater, allowing hundreds and hundreds of small civilian boats to cross the channel, rescuing the trapped soldiers. It was reported as the miracle of Dunkirk. Four miracles. Hitler's order, the storm, the calm, getting all these boats coordinated to get across. Miracle of Dunkirk, and it impacted Winston Churchill, who I understand wasn't a Christian, because he called for further days of prayer and fasting during the war. And also, back in the 18th century, John Wesley recorded that the king at the time, I'm no good with kings and queens and monarchs like that, but somebody will probably know who it was, called for a day of prayer and fasting as the country faced invasion from France, only for the invasion to be called off. And in scripture we read in 1 Samuel 7 verse 6, after the prophet Samuel directs the Israelites to serve God alone, we read that they fasted all day before they prepared to go into battle with the Philistines. Now, I've been in church for 40 something years, and I don't recall hearing much about fasting, to be honest. I'll probably get around, my dad will say, yes, I spoke on fasting, because he's like this, remembering things. I spoke on fasting in October 1982, don't you remember it, son? No, sorry, Dad. I don't remember hearing much about fasting. And before we looked at this study in house group, it wasn't something I'd really thought or heard about making a regular practice. I don't know about you. Had anybody else that had fasting as a regular practice? Yeah, some nod, some... Yeah. Now, it was something that Christians did, I knew that, but something regular, to be honest, hadn't really kind of crossed my path. It was kind of like something reserved for special occasions, and then you put it back away again. When you face your challenges, we're taught, aren't we, to bring stuff to prayer in God, to God in prayer, yeah? And there's a problem, bring it to God in prayer. But if it's a really big challenge, hey, I'm going to unleash the fasting. I'm going to unleash the fasting now because this is a big issue and I really want God to do something about this. Prayer's just not cutting it. It's really serious. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Yeah? Yeah, I'm glad I'm not alone in that. One experience I did have with fasting a few years ago was I was talking with a friend and we were sharing concerns about a mutual friend and a situation that they were in. And we were both praying into it, but our friend didn't appear to recognise the destructive path that they were on. And nothing was changing in the situation. And in our naivety, we thought, it's time to roll out the big gun now. We're going to fast together. So we agreed that we both fast on the same day that particular week. Now, the day after we fasted, something happened in the life of our friend, which was the start of them getting out of that situation that they were in. And when I saw my friend I'd fasted with next, I said, did we make that happen through fasting? Now, this side of eternity, we won't know for sure how or even whether God intervened back in 1940. To us as Christians, it kind of looks like he did. We can see the mark of God over that. But 100% certainty, we can't be 100% sure. And the situation my friend was in, was that because we fasted? This side of eternity, we don't know. Do coincidences happen? Yes, definitely. But they seem to happen more if you've prayed about a situation. Yeah? Coincidences seem to happen more if you've been praying. And I've heard it said, these coincidences seem to happen when we pray. And if we don't, they don't. So we'll carry on praying just in case. Yeah? Fasting isn't something that we keep in reserve. It's like sort of, okay, I've been battling with this for a while. It's time to play my top trump. I'm going to fast. It's not something we bring out as a last resort because praying isn't breaking through. We want fasting to become a regular practice in our lives. Yeah? You can pray without fasting. You can fast without praying. But it's true that fasting and prayer go together. And when you combine the two, it's like a chemical reaction almost that amplifies the power of prayer. Now, prayer is used in Scripture as an umbrella term for a medium to talking and communicating and communing with God. And there's two basic categories there, isn't there? Listening to God and speaking to God. Yeah, when we communicate with God, we listen and we speak. And fasting amplifies God's voice to us and our voice to God. Or you could say that fasting is a way to hear God and to be heard by God. It's also been said it's a way of praying with your body almost. And when the request of our heart is coupled with the yearning of our body, I read, our prayer is purified and presented like a precious metal before the Father for him to do as he will. Let's look then at listening to God. If you turn to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, it'll come up on the screen if you don't have your Bible. Now, in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. As these first disciples were fasting, the voice of God comes through with a very clear direction. One writer says, I've probably spent less than 10% of my total lifetime fasting. I think 10% is a long time. That would be one day in 10. Yeah, I think we've definitely spent less than 10%. Less than 2%? Less than 10% of my total lifetime fasting. Yet I've probably received over 80% of my visions and direct words from God during or as a result of a fast. It's not a guarantee, but undoubtedly, fasting causes spiritual sensitivity to increase. And in this study, John Mark Comer, who's behind the Practicing the Way series, mentioned a friend of his who was fasting for 4 days. 4 days, seeking God for direction for his business. And as he fasted, an idea came to him. And on the final day, he got an unexpected call from an old colleague who asked him if he'd be interested in the very same idea that he'd had while he was fasting. Fasting helps us to discern that voice, the voice of God, through the noise, the distraction of life. It sharpens our mind. In a fasting state, our mind's more alert, it's more focused, it's open. It makes for an easier, makes it easier for us to hear how God is coming to us and hear his will and direction for our lives. Because although we've perhaps been looking at fasting from a spiritual angle, obviously we eat food primarily to satisfy a physical or biological need, yeah? You don't think my soul's hungry, where's the Mars bar? You think I'm hungry, where's the Mars bar? Or Nutri-Grain, or fruit. get there in the end. We need to recognise that what we do with our body has an effect on our soul, because we can't separate the two. We are one, yeah? Body, soul, spirit, yeah, one. And, you know, medical studies have shown that fasting has benefits for our health. Physical health, yes, but also mental health. Fasting increases the blood flow to your brain, causing you to be more alert and aware, whereas eating sends blood to the digestive system and makes you sleepy. Christmas dinner? Yeah? Yeah? I had a friend who I trained with, and he was like, the sign of a good meal is when you can't read a paper afterwards because you're that tired. That was his definition of a good meal. We don't agree with that. No, don't take that home as what you've learned today. Fasting increases neuroplasticity. Now, I was at a sports chaplain conference and there was a presentation about digital media and the fact that the effect that that has. So I know a bit about neuroplasticity now. It's the ability for your brain to make neural connections, to learn new things. Some fasting increases, that's the, Rachel's medical, and she says, yeah, that's right. See, I've listened, I've learned. It elevates the neurotransmitters that signal calm and a sense of well-being, while decreasing those that signal anxiety and depression. So fasting is beneficial, but, like we said, it's a practice. It doesn't happen overnight, yeah? Eva's practicing a violin a lot at the moment, she's learning how to transpose pieces and that, and she's getting better, she's picking up, because she's practicing more. When she started 3 years ago, it was, that's enough practice for today, that's all right. Yeah. Yeah, no, Mum's looking at me disapprovingly. We encouraged her, Mum, we did encourage her. It doesn't come overnight. And from Jean's description of her first attempt at fasting this time around with the house group, yeah, she didn't sound very calm. And she was more than anxious to get that sweet chili chicken wrap into her mouth. It's practice, it takes time. And how long it takes can be affected by diet, lifestyle, what's going on. And of course, these health benefits, you know, it's not just exclusively Christians that see this. It's picked up by others as well, isn't it? In the health and well-being community, intellectuals, philosophers all fast, other religions fast as well. You know, and perhaps there's a bit of a reluctance to embrace fasting because it's trendy at the moment in the world, or maybe because it's practiced by other religions, you know, is that something that we should do if it's practiced by others? Well, I heard the line that just because Hindus eat breakfast doesn't mean breakfast's a bad idea. Yeah? Just because other people do something doesn't make it a bad idea. What's behind it, we need to be careful. But if we're fasting in order to develop our relationship with God, then so much the better. You know, and if fasting is one of the key practices for us, is it any wonder why we perhaps the enemy will try and deny us of the blessing that comes from it? If it's one of the key practices for us. Through fasting, our mind and body get into an ideal state to hear God's voice. And through the prophet Joel, we read that God tells Israel that turning to him with all their heart requires them to fast. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. We can look into the Bible, we can look through history, and almost certainly there'll be stories here this morning in Junction 10 of people fasting to hear God's voice or direction. Yeah? Almost certainly. Hearing God's direction, or you could use the word discernment. Discernment's more than asking God to help us make a good decision. It's asking, what's your will for my life, God? And to hear that, we may need to pick up the discipline of fasting to open our body and soul to God's voice. So that's hearing God, how fasting can amplify God's voice to us. Let's look at the other side to it, speaking to God or being heard by God. Fasting's also an aid to being heard by God. It helps us break through the walls that stand between us and release of God's plans, purposes and power. Story after story in scripture and church history demonstrates it, as you said, when prayer and fasting connect, link arms, it's often the tipping point in the struggle to release God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Hands up if you've ever asked God to speak into a specific situation or give clear instruction as to what you should do next. Okay. If you haven't, give it a try. you've been in that situation where you feel stuck. Yeah. You've been asking, you've been speaking to God, and you've had seemingly nothing back. Remember a few months ago, we did a series called Is There Anybody There? Is anybody listening? That was really helpful, wasn't it, in terms of why does sometimes prayer seem unanswered? But in that, thinking back, I don't think we really touched on the aspect of fasting. I'm looking at the teaching team. It wasn't. And I'm thinking, looking back now, I think, actually, that was quite a big omission. But as Phil said last week, just because we're up here, don't think that we've got it all sorted out. We're still learning and making these connections along the way, yeah? It's all about revelation and learning more and asking God for something fresh day to day. But if we go back to Acts 13, verse 3, it says, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. They not only fasted to hear, but also to be heard. And fasting can help us break through that barrier, perceived barrier or wall between us and God. A preacher called Tony Evans put it this way, fasting helps us to activate God's power. Again, from our series that we did based on Pete Gregg's book, we know that God hears every prayer. Yeah? Those times when it doesn't feel answered, and I showed the clip from Bruce Almighty. Sorry to disappoint you, I'm not showing it today. When he got overwhelmed with all the prayer requests that he got swamped with. Yeah, remember that? And he did his post-it notes, answers and everything. God hears those. He's not overwhelmed. But there's something about fasting that seems to amplify our prayers to God. Now, going back to my decision to fast with a friend, when we had concern about a mutual friend, in our naivety, there was perhaps some aspect of wanting to get God's attention because, you know, the prayers just didn't seem to be heard. But we need to be careful that we don't see fasting as some sort of holy hunger strike. Yeah? I'm going to deny myself until you speak, God. We're not putting pressure on God to give in to our demands or think he will answer yes just because he sees that Joe has given up food for a day and therefore he must be really, really serious about this one. There's unquestionably a link between prayer and fasting, but there's also a bit of a mystery around it as well. We read in the Bible that when we add fasting to prayer, it releases God's power in greater measure. But why? We're not certain. Why? There's an element, perhaps, of God finding value in the fact that we find him if we seek him. In Jeremiah 29:13, we read that, the verses behind me. And as we've looked this morning at fasting, fasting's a form of prayer, which helps us to get into the right posture to communicate with God. There's an array of opinions, theological opinions, as to why some prayers are answered and some not. Ultimately, until we get to heaven and we get a chance to ask, we won't know why. And as we said before, it may just be that the prayer isn't answered as we expect it, or it's not answered in the time that we see it. Yeah? If we look at the story of Jonah, the city of Nineveh is warned of its coming destruction. And we read in chapter 3, and just pulling out verses 5 and 10. The Ninevites believed God, a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Going to verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them to the destruction he had threatened. Now, apparently there's a play on words in that that's lost in the translation from Hebrew. The phrase turned from their evil ways and relented are the same word in Hebrew, Naam, which means to repent or relent or change your mind. So literally it leads, when God saw they Naamed, he Naamed. When God saw that they repented, he repented. But what does it mean for God to repent? It's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Well, Arthur Wallace in God's Chosen Fast book writes this. Because man repents in respect to sin, God repents in respect to judgment. Yeah? Man's change of heart makes it morally possible for God to behave differently towards him, yet acting consistently with his holy character and principles. You know, sometimes we can think that Almighty God does what Almighty God is going to do. Yeah? But if you look through Scripture, there's a pattern. When God's people pray, and when they fast and pray, He responds. Wow. To think that through fasting and prayer, prayers of intercession, prayers of petition, the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, can be influenced by us to withhold judgment. That's the power of prayer and fasting. We're not messing about. We're not messing about. That's the power of prayer and fasting. And Jonah's one story where we see that. There's others as well in Scripture. And I'm sure history as well is full of stories like that. So fasting amplifies God's voice to us and our voice to God. Now, before concluding this morning, we've been hearing from others in the house group about their journey with fasting. And it's my privilege to invite Alison Masters up. So should we welcome Alison? Simon, we've got microphone 3, wherever you are. Okay. So Alison, you're right. Thank you. So can you tell us a little bit about your experience? You are a mature Christian.
Thank you.
Yes. I didn't say old.
Yes.
Or older. I said mature.
Mature, thank you.
Alison's told me off before for referring to people as old. So older or mature. What's been your experience of fasting during your Christian journey? Because as we were talking about it, I think you mentioned that there wasn't much mentioned about it in Methodist circles, which is your background.
Yeah. So Roy and I used to go to a Methodist church, and certainly fasting was never mentioned there as far as I remember. But when we came to the WEC, as Junction 10 was called 20-odd years ago, I joined a prayer group called the Sisters, where we used to fast one day a week and pray for our pastors. So that was the first experience. But when that group ended, I carried on praying for the pastors, but I straight away stopped fasting.
So fasting wasn't something which you'd heard a lot about until you came to Junction 10, and then it was perhaps on the fringes rather than front and centre?
Yeah, I don't really remember it being preached on much even at Junction 10.
So what were your initial reactions and thoughts when we said, OK, the next practice we're going to look at is fasting? Was there delight or...?
No. I think, like everyone else in our journey group, I really wasn't looking forward to it at all. But then we all said that we would do it together on the same day, so knowing that everybody else in the group was fasting the same day made it a bit easier.
Brilliant, brilliant. Sorry. Oh, no, it's all right. So, you started fasting, and unlike Jean, you did stick to it.
I did.
Or you misled us in house group. I'm sure you stuck to it. So, through the practice, what did you notice or observe while you were fasting, or particularly as in relation to your prayer life as you fasted?
Well, I found it really, really hard at first, I must admit, and John Mark Comer, who wrote a practice, said that he fasted twice a week and they were two of the best days of his week, and he found it a joy and delight, and I haven't got there yet, I must admit. But I think as time has gone on and I've understood more about the reasons why we fast, that it's a spiritual discipline and something that I'm denying myself so that I can focus on God, then that certainly made it more meaningful and helped me, I think. So on my fast days, in my quiet time, this is the way it works for me, I pray for one person and possibly two. So first of all, I just focus my prayers on my lovely son-in-law, Mark. And then if the Lord lays on my heart another person, I will pray for that person. So I focus on one or two people on that day. And then during the day, when my stomach rumbles or my thoughts turn to God, then I pray again for those one or two people. I think, obviously, we're talking about amplifying our prayers. I know that God doesn't think Alison's fasting today, so I'm going to really listen. I know it doesn't work like that, because God hears my prayers whether I fast or not, and he loves me unconditionally, totally and utterly, whether I fast or not. But I can't explain it, but there's something about my fast days when I just feel more attuned to God, more focused on him, I think.
It's that sense of mystery, isn't it? We know that
yeah.
it amplifies, but why?
We're
not quite sure why, but we know that it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so through prayer and fasting, have you seen any prayers answered yet or shifting anything that you've been praying and fasting into?
Well, we've been praying for Mark to be saved and to be healed for over 20 years, and we're still waiting for the breakthrough. But, so even through the fasting, that doesn't seem to have changed. But I don't know what God is doing in his heart. Mm. I just don't know. But I know that God calls me to, and calls us all to be obedient and to be persistent in our prayers and just to trust him and his timing. So I haven't had any amazing answers as yet, but I'm still waiting.
Yeah. Alison, thank you so much. So we thank Alison. So, as you said, prayer amplifies God's voice to us and also our voice to God. It gets his attention. It doesn't guarantee an answer. It doesn't guarantee an answer. But we press on knowing that it does make a difference. And if individually, when we pray and fast, our voice is amplified, what about collectively? Yeah, that's what happened back in 1940, isn't it? Collectively, the nation came together, it fasted and prayed. And as I said, we don't know for sure, but we kind of do, don't we? We kind of do. God intervened. Now, this Friday, we have our half night of prayer. And we're calling everyone to fast collectively on that day, if possible. As you said, if you've got a medical need or if you need to get medical advice before fasting, please do. But rather than saying if you can do, unless you can't, can you please fast on Friday? Have a go. Join with us together. We've heard that from the group that knowing others are fasting helped get through those times. Yeah. When you're just walking past the cupboard and biscuits are very loud, aren't they? Eat me. I'm here. I'm lonely in the cupboard. Knowing that other people and I can't eat the biscuit, I'll be letting Alison down. Yeah, everybody's like, so we can't break the fast yet, of course we can't let Alison down. No, never mind God. Never mind what we said to God. We'll let Alison down. No, it is, if you do things collectively, that sense of joint ownership and responsibility, and you're in this together. You know, there's our young people, have a go at fasting this week. Don't look at me like that, Brian. You can eat today, it's your birthday. Your cake will be gone by Friday. Your cake will be gone by Friday. Have a go. And who knows, maybe when you're Kevin Davis's age, you'll look back and think, remember that time we fasted on a Friday together and what happened as a result of that? You don't know. You don't know. So on Friday, if you can fast for the day, great. If you've been fasting for part of the day, maybe stretch yourself. If you haven't fasted yet, okay, maybe start with a meal. I've looked, if you want to fast sunrise to sunset, sunrise is 7:40. Sunset is 6:05. That's less than 11 hours. I've added it up. It's less than 11 hours that you can fast. Will you have a go on Friday? Okay. All right, cancel that. Will you have a go Friday? Yeah. Look, I'm not guilting you. I'm not pressing you. this is entirely up to you, but we would love you to have a go. We would love you to have a go. Because, as we've heard, what happens collectively when people fast and pray together. And please don't forget to bring your harvest offerings with you next Sunday as well. The money that would have been spent on food, then please bring that in, and we're going to be giving that to Food Bank. So, fasting, part 3, amplifies our prayers. Thank you for listening this morning.